You can see why field research would be especially dangerous for women. You're in the wild with a small team, maybe even just one other person. You're sleeping in tents. There's no phone service. It's kind of a setup for harassment. The National Science Foundation is now funding a new project looking into the problem. And the lead investigator is Erica Marin-Spiota. She's a biogeographer, and she says stories like these are coming out in a lot of science departments at a lot of universities.
Yeah, so probably the first one that kind of caught a lot of people's attention and that was kind of an impetus for the work that I'm doing was Jeff Marcy at UC Berkeley, who's an astrophysicist.
And what happened there?
BuzzFeed broke the news that this professor in Berkeley had been found to violate the codes of conduct at UC Berkeley. So there had been an internal secret investigation, and basically nothing came out of it. He was still doing his job. There were no visible repercussions. Came out in the news. This was in the fall of 2015. And then people were just shocked. He had a 20-year-plus record, a career of doing things at Berkeley. And then I believe he was at San Francisco State. He had been winning awards for his research. And he actually had been involved in this publicity for his professional society about, you know, mentoring women and diversity. And here he was like a serial harasser.
So this is like the science version of Harvey Weinstein,
basically.
In which something went on for a really, really long time. And the industry, his university, covered up and was complicit.
Often there will be an investigation, but it's secret. And so you don't even know the investigation is happening. And when there are, you know, if the person is found to be guilty, usually nothing happens. In the worst case scenario, you know, and what happened to Marcy, only because there was this public outcry, he retired early, right? Which basically means, you know, you have all your benefits.
And what about the women?
Yeah, well, a lot of them are not even in science anymore, right? That's one of the reasons a lot of people decide to leave science, because they experience this when they're a student, and a lot of them toughen out, and a lot of them say, hey, I can't put up with this.
Wow.
And so they leave the field.
You're the lead investigator on this NSF $1.1 million project to look into sexual harassment in the earth sciences in particular. Why the earth sciences?
Yeah, that's a good question. So we are focusing on the earth sciences, again, not because I think it's the only place where it's happening, but it's one of the least diverse in the STEM fields. But also another reason why we're focusing on the geosciences is that a lot of people in the geosciences do research in the field. This harks back to the Antarctica case, right, with Dave Marchand. Like 90%+ of geology undergraduate degree programs require a field course. So students have to go to the field, right? If something happens, you're not on campus, you don't have your support network, it's unclear. The supervisors in that case might be the people who are harassing you, right? And so it's hard to know what recourses are. Or you might be doing field research, you know, in Antarctica with three other people, and one of those people is your harasser, right? They control your access to food. They control your access to communication. They control your access to a doctor or healthcare, right?
And they also control your ability to advance in your career,
right? Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah, and we have a very hierarchical system. And especially when you're a grad student, almost everything professionally depends on one person, you know, your advisor. So you might depend on that person for your funding, access to field sites, or access to data. Their reputation kind of guides your professional development and your career in the future, right? And so, you know, you're always going to be this person's student. And so there's a lot of power there, and there's a lot of potential for abuse of that power.
Well, so the project that you're working on, this big NSF grant, is both about surveying the earth sciences to see just how big a problem this is, but you're also working on some protocols, some interventions for bystanders in particular. So what does that mean and why bystanders?
Yeah, so the training that you usually see, and actually I had gone through sexual harassment training as a postdoctoral scientist at the University of California, and it's very kind of legalistic, right? Like, this is the definition of sexual harassment. This is what you do at the university. These are some instances. Recognize them as sexual harassment. Don't do it. But it felt like most of the scenarios were kind of the cubicle and the arm on the hand, right? Or somebody asks you on a date. It just seemed like very canned. And it seemed like the training was really just, oh, you know, the university needs to do this because otherwise they will be sued and mm-hmm. you need to take it because, you know, just kind of protect you. Oh, but my employees have taken the sexual harassment training, therefore it's not going to be a problem, right? And so that seems not very effective. So with a bystander intervention training, you know, what we want to do is really empower the community, empower scientists, professors, students to basically not put up with this environment.
Not to turn a blind eye, basically, yeah, exactly. Or, you know, exactly. Implicitly condone
right.
And problems.
That's, right. And that's the problem is that often, you know, you'll hear of these cases and they come on in the news, but people have known for years, you know. With Jeff Marcy, there was like a rumor network at the Astronomy Society. They even had like a, you could text or call a number if you wanted to be escorted from one of the meeting events, from like the big social banquet to your hotel so that you wouldn't have a lecherous professor follow you to your hotel. I mean, people...
You're kidding.
I'm not kidding you. Yeah. So a lot of this people knew this behavior was happening, and the targets or the victims, I prefer to call them targets, they are in a powerless situation, you know, and basically they risk losing their professional career and their credibility if they come forward. So it's not on them, but it's on all the peers, right? All the professors who know and all the administrators, right, who have heard these things and don't do anything.
Why don't people come forward more? Why does one tenured professor look the other way when there are rumors about his colleague?
I think a lot of it is just, well, that's not my business. I don't want to get involved. You know, and being a professor myself, you know, it's very easy to just kind of immerse yourself into your research and there's all this stuff going around. But if it doesn't directly affect you, you know, we're like so overworked and so busy and it's easy to just say, oh, well, that's all social stuff. You know, I'm a scientist. I don't, you know, I deal with data. I don't deal with people, right? So I don't have to worry about this people stuff. It's not an excuse, but people, it's easy to see how that happens. So educating people about the problem and then telling them that it's hurting people. So for that reason, it's inappropriate, but it's also hurting the scientific enterprise, right? Because you're turning people away.
Is there any way to estimate any kind of data about how many women may have left science or not gone into science because they experienced either outright harassment or the kind of hostile climate you're talking about?
Yeah, that's a good question. And we've been wondering about that. And I think because people leave their programs and very often there's no exit interview. Students will just decide halfway through their PhD to get a master's and leave, right? And very often they're never asked, why are you leaving?
Do you know women who've left because they were sexually harassed?
Yeah. Yeah. And so you know it happens, but it's really hard to come up with data.
What does science lose when it's done by predominantly white men?
It loses more than half of the world's brains, right? And more than half of the world's minds and experiences.
Erica Marin Spiota is a biogeographer at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She's the lead investigator on a new NSF-funded program to address sexual harassment in the earth sciences.